In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Verse 6 is my text. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Now, there is a great deal of difference in weddings in our day and in our culture and in our civilization from the weddings of the East in the day of Jesus in another culture and in another part of the world. Well, even in our own culture, we can remember the time when the young man and the young lady sat together by the grandfather clock, and the old grandfather clock ticked away. Take your time. Now they sit by these modern watches that go, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Let me read for you again verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. To appreciate the meaning of the words in this verse, it is important that we understand the matrimonial procedure in Jesus' day. The wedding of the East was in 3 stages. First, there was the engagement. This was an agreement between the father of the bride and the bridegroom that their offspring would be married. Secondly, there was the betrothal. This was a ceremony that was held within the home of the bride's father. The bridegroom would come to the bride's home with elaborate gifts, and he would make his promise and pledge of fidelity and faithfulness. And then, 1 year later, the wedding was consummated. This was a ceremony that found the bridegroom with his friends going to the bride's home to fetch her and to bring her back in a procession to his own home. There the marriage was consummated and the marriage feast was held. With this background, we see more clearly the reason of the coming of the bridegroom. Remember, when the time came for the actual consummation of the wedding, the bridegroom would go to the bride's home and bring her back in a procession to his own home. When Jesus Christ, now you boys right here in front of me, let's don't do that. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he came to win his bride. And there was no manifestation of magnificence. There was no showmanship of might and power to prove his love for us. The Lord Jesus proved his love for us by his sufferings on the cross. If you want to know how much the bridegroom loves you today, if you want to know how much the Lord Jesus loves you, look at the cross. The greatest price that could ever be paid was paid on Calvary's tree. No wonder we sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. What a price. Our redemption was paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Well, my text reveals that the bridegroom is coming again. And I see three reasons why he will come again. First, to take his bride. Second, to wed his bride. And third, to show his bride. I speak first then that the bridegroom is coming to take his bride. At midnight, the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." The engagement is ended. The time of betrothal is over. It is now time to consummate the wedding. J.A. Findlay describes the procedure from an eyewitness account that I want to share with you, and I want you to listen carefully. This is a thing of beauty. As we were approaching the gates of a Galilean town, I caught sight of 10 maidens gaily clad and playing musical instruments as they danced along the road in front of our car. When I asked what they were doing, my guide told me they were going to keep the bride company until her bridegroom arrived. I asked him if there were any chance of seeing the wedding. He shook his head, saying, in effect, "It might be tonight, or tomorrow night, or in a fortnight. Nobody ever knows for certain." Then he went on to explain that one of the great things to do, if you could, at a middle-class wedding among the town folk in Palestine, was to catch the bridal party napping, for the bridegroom comes unexpectedly, sometimes in the middle of the night. It is true that he is required by public opinion to secure a man along the street to shout, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." But that may happen at any time. Therefore, the bridal party is to be ready to go out into the street to meet him whenever he comes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see a magnificent parallel to that beautiful story. It's in the Bible. One day, our heavenly bridegroom is coming. When he is coming is a divine secret known only to God. He may come tonight or tomorrow night or in a fortnight. But he is coming. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. our heavenly bridegroom is assuredly, positively, definitely coming again. We know not when. This is why it's so important for the bride to be ready, to be waiting, to be watching, to be longing, for we know not the day nor the hour when he shall come. The poet put it like this. It may be at morn, when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. It may be at midday. It may be at twilight. It may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. While its hosts cry, Hosanna from heaven descending, with glorified saints and the angels attending, with grace on his brow like a halo of glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow night, maybe in a fortnight, but Jesus is coming again. The bridegroom is coming to take his bride. In the second place, the bridegroom is coming to wed his bride. Now, as individual Christians, we are already married to him. I read it in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Married to him who is raised from the dead. Even married to him, the Lord Jesus. But one day, there shall be a corporate wedding when the church, every born again, blood washed, redeemed, ransomed child of God, in the bride of the Lamb shall be married to the heavenly bridegroom. In this age, in this dispensation, the church is defiled, the church is divided, the church is disowned and discarded by the world. But in spite of all of the onslaughts of Satan, in spite of all of the attacks from this side and that side and that side and the other side, in spite of all of these things, down through the corridors of time, I hear the voice of the Son of God who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock himself, not upon Peter, not even upon Peter's confession, but upon Christ is the church built. And the rock stands for and speaks of durability. It speaks of solidarity. It speaks of eternality. It speaks of that which is infinite and unending forever and ever. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I bring good news to you this morning. We are not victims. We are victors. We are not losing. We are winning. We are not declining. We are inclining. We are not going down. We are going up. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker. Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom, is coming again to take his bride, to wed his bride. And the church will emerge triumphant, glorious, spotless, without blemish, without wrinkle, victorious forever, the church of the living God. And beloved, if this army keeps marching, one day we'll outshine the sun. Our God is marching on. His truth is from generation to generation. His word is eternal. His word is true. And the bridegroom is coming. The church will never be defeated. The church will never be destroyed. The church will never be diminished. We are going to a wedding in the sky. And what a wedding that's going to be. Why, it'll be the most elaborate wedding that's ever been staged. Say, don't forget the price that's been paid. The blood of the Son of God. What about that wedding, preacher? Well, let me just speculate a little bit. Somehow I believe that the orchestra of heaven will play the wedding march. Somehow I believe that the cherubim and the seraphim will play on their harps. And maybe even King David will join in with them, the sweet singer of Israel. The floral arrangement will come from God's own botanic garden. And the great feast, food from heaven's own delicatessen. What shall I say about the honeymoon? When my wife and I got married, we didn't go but 6 blocks from the place we got married. One day, some 2 days, 3 days, maybe a week. But beloved, we're heading for a wedding that's going to last 7 years. A honeymoon like you've never seen before. John on the Isle of Patmos was standing there and approached by the angel. And the angel said, come thither and I will show you the Lamb's wife, the bride, the Lamb's wife. What a majestic scene that's going to be. Multiplied millions from all over the world shall stand with their robes washed white in his blood. And we shall sing forever of his mercy. And forever of his love, and forever of his marvelous grace, there shall be no end to our praise. World without end, forever and ever, we shall sing his praise. 'Tis the church triumphant singing glory to the Lamb. Our bridegroom is coming to take his bride, to win his bride, and finally he's coming to show his bride. Young man gets married and he's in love with that precious young girl, and the first thing he wants to do is to show her off. It was a Jewish custom that the bridegroom could take off as long as he wanted to, as long as it took him, even from the duties of the law. The rabbi said, you're excused to go show your bride to your family and to your friends. Our heavenly bridegroom is going to show us to the Father. Somehow I feel there will be complete silence in heaven when this happens. The angels will stop the fluttering of their wings. Gabriel will tone down his horn, and all shall be quiet, silent, while the Son, the heavenly bridegroom, says to the Father, this is my bride. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you spotless, faultless, before the throne of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Oh, we're something to be ashamed of in our rags of unrighteousness. But one day when we are totally clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, he'll brag on us. He will be proud of us as he shows us to the Father. This is my bride. Listen again to the words of my text. And at midnight there was a cry made, go ye, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Jesus Christ is coming for his bride. There are a lot of people in the world today who look like Christians and who even act like Christians. I read it to you in the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were ready and 5 were not for the coming of the bridegroom. 5 professed to have something that they did not have. All they went to the same church and sang in the same choir and taught the same lessons and sang the same songs and gave in the same offering. But they were not possessors of the true thing. Now don't misunderstand me, ladies and gentlemen, but there's many a person with his name on the church roll today that's never had a change of heart. If a man tells me he's a Christian, I expect him to act like a Christian. To go to church like a Christian. To live like a Christian. To be a Christian. Not just to say it in words only, but to be it. They had their empty vessels, but they had no oil. Isn't it sad today? Someone had to write this about the church. I looked for the church, and I found it in the world. I looked for the world, and I found it in the church. What an indictment. Midnight. Midnight, the cry was made. Beloved, let me say to you something this morning. We are approaching, fast approaching, the midnight hour. The bridal party will be asleep. And the voice will come, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the Bible says that they who are ready. Let me ask you a personal, pointed question. Are you ready? Are you saved? Now, I didn't ask you, do you belong to the church? Or do you belong to the Masons or the Odd Fellows or the Woodmen of the World or the YMCA or the AAA or the Civitans or the Lions or anybody else? Now, I don't have anything against these. I'm just saying to you, you can belong to all of these, the church included, and die in your sins and go to hell. I ask you, do you belong to Jesus? Are you saved? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Afterward came others also when the door was shut, when the bridegroom had come and fetched his bride, and the door was shut in the bridal chamber. Afterward there came those who said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, and these are the saddest words in the Bible, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, this morning, we pray for judgment day honesty. We pray that men might face the issues of life and death and time and eternity. Judgment ahead, the coming of the bridegroom. Dear God, if there be those in this party this morning who are not ready, who haven't had their robes washed in the blood, who do not know the Lord Jesus, who've never really been born again, who've never really been saved, may they come today and trust him. No delay, no putting it off, no waiting until tonight, no waiting until tomorrow, because the bridegroom may come at any moment, unexpectedly. Heavenly Father, help us to see that, to know it, to believe it. Bring to Christ those who are outside him. Bring into the fellowship of the church those who are outside its confines, and bring to this altar prayer that man or woman, boy or girl who needs to come and pray today. You know about those, dear Lord, some who've made a surrender of their lives to Christ, and yet this morning they've drifted, they've forgotten, They've forsaken. They've turned back. May they come this morning and settle everything with thee for a change of life, a change of heart, a change of mind is our prayer in Jesus' name.